Hello, everyone, and welcome to Open Dialogues, a podcast by Open Dialogue. I am Micah Coppens, your host, and with me I have...
Hi, everyone. This is Ronald Ashry, your co-host. And today it's pretty exciting to have Caio Calado from Brazil. Caio, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Hello, everybody. My name is Caio Calado. I'm speaking to you from São Paulo, Brazil. I have this mix of Latin America, Brazilian, and a little bit of American accent, I guess. But yeah, I'm a conversation designer based in Brazil. I have been working in the industry since 2016. I have experiences with some Brazilian companies and also some American companies as well. And yeah, I have a little bit of experiences with design, UX writing, community work. And yeah, curious to learn with you and share some aspects and things related to the Brazilian ecosystem.
That's really interesting. How did you get into conversational applications and conversational AI specifically?
So it's an interesting question, because sometimes I still think about this, like, how did I get here? What happened? So I like to say that officially I started to work in 2016. I worked for a Brazilian company called, at the time, Take.net. Take.net, today is a different name, I'm going to get there. But at the time, it used to be a Brazilian SMS and messaging type of platform. Usually they created many white label SVA, I think it's service value aggregated. I'm not sure the translation in English, but basically it's a subscription that you would pay to have access through a service. And most of the time this would happen on SMS. Now here in Brazil, many telecom companies, they used to offer services that you can subscribe and pay like $2-3 to have access to this service. So many of these services for the major Brazilian carriers, they used to develop services like that. And before that, they were pioneers in Latin America, because they were one of the very first kind of company that created the ringtone type of business. I don't know if you're going to remember, but for the Gen Z in the 2000s, people was used to buy phones and then buy ringtones for customizations and to have different type of music. So they were one of the very first company that created something, this business in Latin America.
Sadly, remember.
Absolutely. I even remember a time when getting a phone still looked like getting this enormous shoebox. So that just tells you how old we are becoming.
Yeah. So back in 2016, they wanted to create something bold. They want to create like a Brazilian WeChat type of service. So they were focusing on creating like a conversational application that would help them. So that's how I started to work with them. But I like to think that I actually started on the conversational design space in 2015, when I was living in San Francisco, and I had the opportunity to work for a really unique group of people in a service design agency based in San Francisco, call it Doubly Design Office. It was so many things that I learned with them and so many people that I met. And then I started to study a little bit more about cybernetics and just relations with conversation design and stuff like that. Eventually, I started to read a little bit more about the Hugh's work, which is the founder of Doubly Design Office. And Hugh and Robin, they were part of the Apple Knowledge Navigator, which was the very first prototype of a conversational AI thing or conversational device for a big tech. In this case was Apple, right? So that was back in 85. And this group of people, they worked directly on that concept. And that makes me like, oh my gosh, like I was having conversations with these people. And then I don't know, it's like when you taste like water that you really enjoy it, you just want more. And then I started to, yeah, study more. And that's kind of related to the community, my community side. Like I used to share and I still my learning process with the community, and we would be learning together. But personally, this is funny. I have been hosting and organizing the community for about 5 years now, about to be six. And I only spoken at my own community 2 times. I never spoke in an event. I just like to connect with people and help them to be on stage. But yeah, so 2015, 2016, and from 2016 up until today, I have been really interested in the conversational design and conversational AI space. I used to work for this company for 3.5, almost 4 years. There, we changed it a lot. The business, we pivot. At the time, it used to have another name. They didn't have a conversational platform. And I like to think that I was part of this transition as well. The company in 2020, they got a Series A investment of $100 million USD. And they changed a lot of things down here, especially when it comes to conversational strategies for enterprise and stuff like that. So yeah, that's the long story short, I guess.
Thank you so much, Kaya. It's really interesting that you talked about community. I understand you have quite a community going on in Brazil around bots and conversational AI.
Yes, we have a Brazilian bot community. The name is Bots Brazil, really straightforward, I would say. But we are a group of people that tries to help other Brazilians to get to the conversational space. I'm not sure if the international community know, but English is a big barrier down here. So many of the discussions and content, even this podcast, for example, is being generated in English. Many professionals in the industry, they speak English. But down here, about 2 to 5% of the population is able to speak English. So there is a big language barrier there. Myself, for example, I learned English for myself watching series and stuff. So yeah. So I tried just to, through the Bots Brazil community, help other Brazilians to get to know more about the conversational AI, conversational space, and yeah, join the market as well. And yeah, Brazil is a really interesting market, and we have really different ways to approach the conversational space.
Yeah, and from what I understood, you kind of have a lot of content there, right? Like I had a look at the Meetup's YouTube channel, and I saw like, many videos there, and I was like, oh my god, I wished I spoke Portuguese because there were there, like the, it seemed that there was some very interesting things there actually.
Yes, so basically like any other community, we have a group of people that likes to organize this work. We have a blog which has more than 200 articles in Portuguese. We also, since 2016, we have been hosting monthly in-person events, but because of the COVID, we stopped to host this type of event in 2020. But yeah, since 2016, every month we used to host an event in São Paulo and live streaming as well. After 2020, we transitioned to the online type of event. And so far we have been, yeah, creating and live streaming content for the community, with the community. And last year only, we hosted about 80 events, short events. So 80 different presentations, 20, 30 an hour long presentations. Many of those are in Portuguese, and we have one or two in English. And yeah, so we just try to help people and connect them with the Brazilian market and yeah, with Brazilian companies. Sometimes though, we like to help the Brazilian companies to go outside Brazil as well. So once in a year, especially in San Francisco, between when we used to have Google I/O and Facebook's F8. We also hosted an international event in San Francisco. The previous two editions was at the Slack office in San Francisco, which it's a meetup. We call it WorldBot Meetup, which has a Brazilian taste or Brazilian type of event on this particular event since we are organizing. So yeah, on these opportunities, we try to connect Brazilians with international folks as well. So it's just a facilitator, I would say. It's a way, serendipity. We're just trying to help others to have access to new things and learn new things through these connections.
Yeah. And so just coming back to the community side of things, I'm just wondering, how is the Brazilian community of conversation designers articulated? I know like the international community, I've always felt is a very kind of friendly tech community, quite inclusive, and are at least trying to be as much as they can, and being especially kind of attentive to women and their voices. And I'm just wondering, what is that like in Brazil?
Yeah, we do have conversation designers and communities related to AI for not only chatbots per se, but data science. AI is not only for chatbots, right? There are so many other applications. And down here, we have so many small communities for D&I, diversity and inclusion, and also women, Black, many type of empowerments that you can think of it. So Bots Brasil is a little bit of these type of groups. We like to help them. Many of these communities started through our community. There's like 4 or 5 communities that started inside of my community, and now they're kind of bigger than us. And that's great because they could grow and have a different approach. So conversation design is it's a field that it's a combination of many other fields, right? There is UX writing, there is UX design, there is just tech per se, there is AI, data science. So there you go. There is so many different type of communities on this area. So the community that I run since 2020, we needed to transition to another type of event. So today we have a call for papers. People can just sign up and speak in one of our events. Right now, the only event that we have active is the Bots Brasil conference, which happened last year in October. And this year is going to happen on August. And through the year, we host 1 or 2 small events, which mostly is just a Q&A and a conversation. But today we have, as I said, many other communities that we interact, and usually we just, like, it's a small group of people, everybody kind of know everybody's, I need a speaker, please name one, and then we are going to help each other. But yeah, the communities today changed a lot. And now here in Brazil, especially, the idea of communities is also changing as well. So I think this is a global thing. This is not related to conversation design, but many companies down here, they are having communities strategy, meaning communities for products. And communities like my community usually is kind of similar to these companies' products, but we are not a company per se, and we don't have the resources to compete or to keep it up with the investments that such companies have. So down here, we are just passing through an interesting time, which is confusing sometimes and really specific to the Brazilian market.
So what was one of the kind of key learnings that you had from conversational projects that you did and Brazilian companies that do it really well?
Well, I think that it's similar, right? Messaging, it's quite similar in any country, but the needs that we have down here, especially for technology, is completely different from a developed country. So for some things that in the US, many people take it for granted, we don't have it, things like that. So small changes or small technologies like having a chatbot on WhatsApp, it's a powerful tool for many businesses, not only big companies, but also small businesses as well, because they can have conversations with the clients. So down here, just to give you a number, about 98% of the smartphones in Brasil, they have WhatsApp installed. So it's a big number in Brazil, and many companies, they try to leverage this channel to develop such innovation, I would say, which is a little bit different for example, voice interfaces. Down here, smart devices are quite expensive. So it's not for everyone to buy an Alexa or a Google Home and have it in their homes. So yeah, it's a different market, which has some limitations, but I have a friend that he likes to say that the limitations pushes innovations. So we have many innovations in that regard per se. There are some big players, small players, and media players. And in the international community, most of the times we just say, oh, it's a conversational AI platform. It's a conversational platform. It's a conversation commerce platform. There are so many buzzwords that can be really confusing. So today in Brazil, there are some companies that try to focus in a niche, but they do similar things. They work with AI. They also work with integration. Some of them work just with orchestration, which is just a connection of different services. So if you look for each of these Brazilian companies and just go to their website, you're going to see it, like what they stand for and what is the niche that they're trying to, have conversations with. And some of them, it's really big, and some others, they're really specific. I can tell one story from a Brazilian company. They are trying to trademark a concept that is called smart contact, which is basically the idea that everybody has a phone, and inside of this phone, everybody can have a contact. If you have Messenger, there is a content on your Messenger. If you have WhatsApp, there is a content on your message or on your WhatsApp. If you use WeChat, there is a contact there as well. So a smart contact, basically, it's a smart application in a form of a contact. Can be a company, can be a customer, a service, can be anything. So some companies, they're just trying to create a hub of smart contacts that helps any company to deploy any solution in any channel. That's literally they take on this, and the name of the company's take, which is funny.
that's really interesting. Initially, I was trying to think that through. Okay, so how does that work? And it's, you are describing conversational applications and bots in a different twist, right? If I understood it correctly. So
yes, exactly. It's more, I mean, down here, most of the companies, they don't talk much about conversational AI because it sets high expectation. They like to keep expectations low. And we even have a Brazilian say for that, which is beans and rice. Like when we want to make something really simple, beans and rice is the everyday Brazilian main tissue, like lunch. So when we want to get things done, just do the feijão com arroz, keep it simple. And down here, when we talk about AI, conversational AI and things like that, the expectations go really high and the results might be really frustrating. So they prefer to use other terms that would be more actionable and makes more sense. Smart contacts, for example, makes sense because it's a hub of applications in a conversational platform. You can add a conversational agent on WhatsApp, on Messenger, or even in a website, which makes lots of sense.
I mean, that's actually really useful and a positive view on it. I think it's almost the opposite to what a lot of companies in Europe and the US as well, I think, have done, which is really go deep on, hey, this is artificial intelligence. It's magical. It's going to figure stuff out. And then obviously it doesn't, and you have a whole other conversation that you need to have that you promised. What's a very luxurious food in Brazil?
Yeah, there is a meme on that, which was shared by Alan, the founder of Raza. And for me, it was really funny. It's like a QA, a quality assurance tester, is just testing a bar. Like you go to the bartender, like, give me a beer, give me 1,000 beers, give me minus one beer. And then you try these random combinations of drinks and stuff. Real customer enters in the bar. What is the bathroom? The bar bursts, everybody dies. And yeah, because that's it. Like sometimes we focus too much on the technology and we forget to do the simple things. And that's why, for example, I think that the Brazilian has a really strong opportunity and showcase to many others in the world, because we don't have the same budget that many other international companies have. Many companies down here, they have a really tight budget to innovate, and they do innovation. They do great innovation per se. And if you look for the F8, which is the Facebook's developer event, if you check that out, most of the business applications and showcases, they come either from India, Brazil, or a Central America country, which is not a developed country. Why is that? Because these people, they have so many limitations. And small technologies like this, which is accessible, scalable, and easy to deploy, easy, I'm saying like this, but it's not really easy. But anyone can think about one simple use case and generate tons of value to everyone. The challenge here, though, is just to align the expectations and not to make it so broader that, oh my gosh, this is not going to solve anything. So it's a matter of aligning expectations and trying to find the unique cases that would be valuable to the customer and also valuable to the company. And there is a name for that, which is the Pareto principle, which is just like 20-80, 20% of the demands that is going to leverage, 20% of actions that is going to take out 80% of the demand. So if we can find this small collection of things that's going to get the most of the demands, this would be awesome to anyone. So that's why these companies, big companies. Not sure about Amazon because it's kind of expensive to deploy Alexa here, but WhatsApp, Messenger, most of the showcases that comes from countries like this. Yeah, there are so many interesting use cases that we never thought about it. Like one last week, I was having a conversation with a friend about it. There is a Brazilian bot was developed by the Facebook's Brazil and NGO. So the name of the bot is Me Bote na Conversa, which stands like put me in the conversation. But the sounds bot gives the idea that it's a bot, right? So it's a WhatsApp bot that helps less privileged people to understand business and tech terminology. Like what is design thinking? So sometimes many of these people that they don't speak English, they're just afraid or shy to ask like, what is design thinking? Design thinking for like we're speaking English, right? This makes lots of sense. But in Portuguese, we say design thinking as design thinking. We pronounce it in English. And some people, they just don't know what is that. And many other terminologies, especially for startups, that is quite confusing. So this was kind of national successful case because educated many people about these small things that they're just afraid to ask. Another example, random example, Netflix in Brazil, they have a WhatsApp bot that talks about series and share stickers. That's it. It was essentially phenomenal, like 1 million active users every day. That's a strong number. And yeah, it's just for fun, but it's not just for fun. If you think for a moment, that's branding. That's a branding strategy. So there is the opportunity there. There's so many different use cases like this that the company can leverage. And if you think for a moment, it's not AI, it's just brand strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really interesting to consider that. So I'm based in Italy. Our company is kind of headquartered in the UK. Mike is in France, and the reach that conversational applications have here, I don't think is anywhere close to what you're describing. Like most people I would talk to, they probably interacted with a bot at this point, but it's usually support bots on the back end of a service, so whether it's a telecom or insurance company and so on. Well, there's so many more opportunities for other types of interactions as well. A small company, that's what I find really interesting. The usual example that pops in my head is like, I am a local shop or a local restaurant and so on. Is diffusion of this sort of applications in Brazil the point where they would consider having a bot and so having some sort of automation on WhatsApp and that not being strange or new? Like how far does this, the use of the technology go?
That's a great question. And yes, definitely. Especially if you go back 3 years, 2019, when WhatsApp announced the WhatsApp business app and payments, they use Brazil as a use case. Yeah. And especially there is one Brazilian, she sells cupcakes by Isa. She got in the national news and stuff. She was presented and highlighted in the global Facebook event as a use case for that. So yeah, in Brazil, there is a big opportunity for conversational solutions like WhatsApp and similar. But it's not only about the chatbot per se, it's about the channel, how we can use the channel in a strategic way. That's why we have WhatsApp Business App and WhatsApp Business API, which sounds kind of the same, but they are completely different. For a local business, many companies like Facebook Brazil, and we have some other government NGO and also government institutions that they try to educate local and small businesses about new technologies. So they try to help them to create a website, to set it up a WhatsApp business app and stuff like that. So yeah, there is a big opportunity to either use WhatsApp business app or either use WhatsApp business API. And it's like many people use here. You can buy things in the street with WhatsApp. You can go to your class, I don't know, yoga class and pay it through WhatsApp. You can buy things and receive notifications through WhatsApp. One of the Brazilian companies, which is like the Brazilian Amazon version, which is called Magalu, Magazine Luiza. Magalu is the nickname or the brand persona if you look for that, Magalu is a 3D avatar. Magalu today is a character on WhatsApp, and it's like the face of the company. She sends you updates about your product, but also updates about your work application in a magazine, Luiza, sends you birthday messages and many other stuff. But Magazine Luiza is a huge company. It's a big company. But yeah, I mean, there is opportunity for everybody. It's just trying to figure it out how to use these things and combine the pieces and make something interesting.
Fantastic. And is it who do I go to if if I'm an organization in Brazil and I'm interested in getting my business on this, but I'm a small business, who would I talk to? Is it digital agencies? Like, what does the ecosystem look like?
Well, we have agencies as agency, like brand agency and stuff like that. But usually these brands, they do partnerships with some official partners of WhatsApp or other solutions, like Amazon, for example. Google Business Messaging, yeah, we have it in Brazil as well, but few companies have access to it. We do have some big platforms, either for enterprise level, like big companies, but also some local businesses that focus in small business. I can name it like two or three. One of them is really interesting because they created a marketplace inside of WhatsApp, which was something that WhatsApp doesn't have. So they generated like a community of local small businesses. This is in Rio de Janeiro, and it's basically a number on WhatsApp that you can buy stuff like a marketplace. And the entire platform runs in this single contact. It's called Aidrim. I'm not sure if I pronounce it correct, but yeah, it's a small business, really niched in the really small business. And it's not really expensive. You pay like $25, $20 per month. And yeah, there is a platform for every type of company size. Some of them, they're kind of limited to really specific jobs. And some others, they're more scalable, and there are more options to do other things as well.
Very cool. It's so interesting to learn about a different approach, dimension, scale. Really, really interesting. This might be a very broad question, so I apologize in advance. But it's really interesting to consider, like, your journey within the context of the journey that conversational AI had, early attempts at conversational AI. So you mentioned kind of Apple in 85 and so on. How would you describe the evolution of, if there is evolution, of conversational AI from those first ideas in 85 to 2022? Do you think we're in a radically better place, or we're still sort of fighting with similar problems and issues?
We have similar issues. Like, we have really strong similar issues. The Apple Knowledge Navigator, for example. As everybody knows, right, Steve Jobs used to be a great storyteller, and Apple has done through the years a wonderful job of educating people about the power of tech and how people can use technology every day. Apple Knowledge Navigator, for example, was the very first time that a tech company in the Silicon Valley hired a Hollywood company to create a concept to help them to educate the market about what they were up to. And if you think for a moment, we still have this today. Like in the Super Bowl, I don't know if you saw the Alexa's commercial. It was really funny. They have Scarlett Johansson having a conversation with Alexa. That was really meta because of she's the voice of her, right? So it was just they having conversation like Alexa would know what they were thinking. And the idea of the commercial was just to educate people about the possibilities that Alexa and smart devices per se, they can have in there. That's my Alexa in Portuguese. So we still have this education phase, but the penetration in the market today is completely different. Everyone today has a smartphone. And like I said, in Brazil, for example, 98% of the population here that has a smartphone has WhatsApp installed. So this is a big opportunity for the companies to be just literally a click away. And in a market that WhatsApp has a really strong presentation, this is really important for the companies to be where the people are and help them to have conversations with the business. So another thing that you asked, like where I think that we can go, I don't know, but I like to think that these things, they're going to disappear, right? We're not going to see them as things. We're just going to talk and things are going to happen. I like to think that the idea of the ambient intelligence, which is just I having conversation with MySpace and MySpace do things for me. Yesterday, for example, if you go to my LinkedIn, you're going to see in Brazil, they just announced it an air fryer with Alexa embedded. That I laughed with that, like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to have a conversation with Alexa and my air fryer. And today, Alexa announced a second version of the earbuds. So you can have a conversation with Alexa on your earbuds. So I think that these things, not only Alexa, but these services, they're going to be embedded in things. And through things, we're going to have access through some services. And I think that conversation is the, like, it's the low-level stuff. Everybody can have a conversation with anything. They don't need a screen, just if they can, right? If they have the ability to speak, they can just say, and things are going to get done. And that's, I think, what we are going to go in a few years. And I'm not talking about the metaverse because that's another conversation, but yeah.
So that's really useful to consider. So if we think back to 85 compared to today, something that is definitely different is the ability of computing around us to interact with us. So in 85, it's quite challenging to even get to a computer for most people. Today, as you say, most people have a WhatsApp just a click away, and its natural mode of interaction is conversation. And then once you go into ambient computing, well, there is no interface other than conversation and potentially gestures, I guess they can track and so on. So from that perspective, there's definitely a really interesting evolution from our ability to design experiences that are conversational. What do you see as the game changers or like really interesting developments of the past few years? Like what makes your life as a conversation designer better? And allows you to create those experiences that you want to have.
I think that most people today, they are understanding better that they have an opportunity to have a conversation with a digital service, for example. This, I think, was last week, Zendesk. They announced a new study called CX Customer Experience Trends 2022, which they learned that 70% of the most people today or customers, they would prefer to have a conversation with a business. And in this number, about 69% of them, they are more willing to have a conversation with a bot, for example, if they want to solve a simple problem. So as a conversation designer, I think that this is a big opportunity because I can explore these simple use cases, direct to the point use cases that is going to bring value to the customer, but also is going to bring value to the company. So it's not about the conversation design per se, it's about the design problem that we're trying to solve. So I think that most people, they're understanding that there is this opportunity now. It's like this the self-checkout in a store, right? You can just go there and solve it by yourself. And today they're learning that many companies, they have this opportunity or this option, and they're going to try to figure it out by themselves. So it's an interesting job, but it's not only conversation design. That's a little bit my take on it, which I think when I met Mikey, I told her that I think that the international conversation designers, they're like full stack. They know many things related to NLU, AI, etc. But there are other things that would be interesting for them to learn as well, like service design, UX research, and such things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that is also kind of closely embedded to what you do as a conversation designer, as you think how this conversational service is going to work is obviously also change management, as in how do you accompany the people that are doing the jobs currently, like customer service, for example, to work alongside this automated service, and how do you bring them on board, because they are the ones that have the knowledge of the customer even more so, like in a day-to-day with data obviously that you don't always get from analytics or quantitative studies. So I think you're absolutely right. I think there's a plethora of things that are in the conversation designer's realm that aren't just about the NLU and the words and all of that.
From your perspective, what's next that you are thinking about that's exciting? Like, what's coming up that's really interesting for you?
I think that it's exciting that we know the innovators curve, early adopters, early majority, late majority, and lagger. So I and a few friends, we have been in a really early adopters phase. And today we're just seeing a transition. I think you too as well over there. It's exciting because new people are joining the market today, but still so many opportunities and things to figure it out. So it's a really exciting time to be part of this transition as well, and to guide and help other professionals join this industry as well. There is a passage from it's a guy from the Google. He says that innovation comes in waves and it articulates with different types of technologies to innovate even more. So I think that we're just seeing like another wave of conversational applications, which 2 years ago was completely different. And because of the COVID, things changed a lot. And I think that things are going to change a lot in 2 years from now. So yeah, I think it's exciting to be part of this. And for me, it excites me the idea of being helping other professionals to join the industry, to learn from my mistakes, maybe, but learn from other people's perspective. So I think this is really exciting.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kayo, for joining us on this podcast. It was absolutely amazing talking to you. We learned so much. I can't even begin to describe like the number of things that I was jotting down on my notebook. And I saw Ron was also kind of thinking things through deeply. So thank you so much, Kayo, for joining us and for kind of putting us more in touch with the Brazilian ecosystem. Yeah, and so to all our listeners, thank you for listening again to our podcast. We will be back soon with a new episode. So stay in touch.